This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman John Carter, who's also been not only reelected by the voters in his Texas district, but also as conference secretary for the House Republicans, who are now, of course, in the majority in the 112th Congress. He joins us today to give us a little bit of a preview on some of the issues we can expect to be seriously debated in the new Congress. And, sir, it's always great to have you with us. Congratulations again.
Well, thank you, Greg.
You are a member of the House Appropriations Committee, and, of course, the amount of spending was a major issue in the recent midterm elections and is really the critical issue as you begin this Congress and try to set a tone and chart a course for bringing the nation's fiscal house in order. What will be some of the early priorities of the committee?
Well, let's just start off by telling you what our chairman told us when we met at first. He said, congratulations and welcome to the House Disappropriations Committee. Our job this year is to cut spending. And we are going to start off, while other departments around this town are cutting 5% out of their budget to show goodwill, the Appropriations Committee is going to cut 9%. We are targeting a 20% reduction in spending that we will be targeting as appropriators to reduce budgets across the board. That's a pretty sizable first-year direction shift, 20%.
How likely do you think it is that that will get through the House, and how likely do you think it is that at least some of that will be well-received in the Senate?
The challenge is going to be the Senate. I think the will is in the House with our wonderful new members. They're going to help lead the fight because they came up here. Many of our Tea Party folks came up here with that being their agenda. It's the agenda of those of us who've been conservative up here all along, and I count myself in that number. So I think we got the votes to do it in the House. The Senate, probably, you know, the Democrats are still barely in charge over there. But a lot of those folks have to stand up for re-election in 2 years. And if we keep coming to them with doing the right thing, if they keep saying no, some of them are going to realize it could be a ticket to a trip home.
In terms of job creation, obviously that goes kind of in tandem with the efforts to reduce spending. Some say that between the compromise in the lame duck session over extending the tax cuts, that could add to the deficit. Others say that raising the debt ceiling will be necessary. Others say absolutely not. How do you expect that all to play out?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office and the Democrats are the only people I know that say taking money out of my billfold is something that I have to offset, okay? And call that deficit spending. It's the taxpayer, the American citizen's money, and when they are not able to take it out of your billfold, then they say they have to treat that as if it's a deficit. No. The truth is, you fix deficits by quitting your runaway spending policies. And taking more of the American people's money, it's their money, not this place. Never has taxes been an entitlement of anybody in government. Taxes are taking what is necessary to meet the responsibilities of government and not to be the give-all, take-care-of-all of the entire nation through a socialistic government system. And we got to change the whole direction of our country and stop this thinking that taking the hard-working taxpayers' money who earned it is in some way deficit spending in Washington. It's not.
Congressman, in terms of what you've heard from folks in your district, particularly small business owners and other employers, what are the keys from the Republican perspective to get folks back to work and get this economy humming again?
First off, on top of all the damage that was done to the small businessman in the last 6 years of a Democrat-led Congress, and it's been a lot, we have a lot to turn around. Now the regulators are starting to come alive, the entrenched regulators in this town, most of whom are hardcore liberal Democrats, and now the EPA is being abusive to multiple states, especially the state of Texas, on the issue of the Clean Air Act. The Clean Air Act, by its very nature and direction, was to give encouragement and incentive to the states setting their own standards and administering the Clean Air Act, not the federal government. But as recently as last week, the Wall Street Journal pointed out that the EPA has come in and told Texas that they're taking over our permitting system under an act that gives them no such authority to do that. So that's not only going to happen to Texas, that's going to happen to every state and union that dares to say, wait a minute, that's not what this act's supposed to do. And the estimate just in Texas is 167 major projects, including oil refineries and power plants that will not be able to be built because of these new regulations. 167 projects will fail, and 250,000 jobs will be lost. That's insane when we're trying to gain jobs. So we're going to have to fight the bureaucrats to keep them from killing more jobs. In the meantime, we have to make sure our taxing structure and the credit worthiness of our country is sound enough that our credit markets can come back so the small businessman can have operational funds.
We're talking with Texas Congressman John Carter. He's also a member of the House GOP leadership as conference secretary. In our last 90 seconds or so here, Congressman, one of the issues, of course, that you and I talked about a lot over the last year and a couple of months now has been the government's reaction and follow-up to the horrific terrorist attack carried out at Fort Hood, Texas, which is in your district. You were very frustrated and remain frustrated, as far as I know, about how it's been characterized, trying to basically tamp down the language that actually was a terrorist attack carried out by Major Hassan. Now the Republicans are in the majority, and given your connection to the base, as well as your roles on various subcommittees related to the quality of life in the military, what kind of answers do you hope to get?
I'm a very simple person. I'm a law and order type of person who spent 20 years in the justice system as a judge. And there are things that are black and there are things that are white. Calling black things white doesn't make them white. There's black and white in this world. There's good and bad in this world. And if evil is Islamic-driven, it ought to be called Islamic terrorism. If it's Christian-driven, it ought to be called Christian terrorism. I mean, whatever, if it's Jewish-driven, if it's whatever, if it has a definition that is based upon some kind of belief, where's the shame in telling the American people the truth? What's wrong with trying to clear the air with the American people and say, this was a terrorist act committed by a person who was shouting out slogans that are the chief slogans of the Islamic terrorists? Therefore, all evidence is the man was acting as an Islamic terrorist. The Army doesn't like this, and they don't like me to say this, but it's the right thing to do. You got to tell people the truth. People are tired of being told other than the truth by the government.
Congressman, it remains a major story in addition to everything else that Congress will be focusing on over the next couple of years. Thank you, sir, very much. We look forward to checking in with you as events warrant in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, thank you very much. And even though I have my criticism of what the Army's doing, God bless our soldiers and our Marines and all those who stand in harm's way on our behalf. They are the true saviors of our nation.
They absolutely are heroes and have our respect. We certainly echo that sentiment. Congressman John Carter represents the 31st Congressional District in Texas. He's also the conference secretary for the House Republicans. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.